You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to Plumpton and Taunton on this edition. There's also Irish racing to bring you from Cork on the final day before the Cheltenham Festival 2016 gets underway. A last chance to top up the festival funds from 2pm with Luke Elder, Mick Norton and John Budden in the studio. My name is Sam Norris and it's the aforementioned John Budden who joins me on Monday's edition of the podcast. How are you, Your Lordship?
I'm pretty well, Sam, pretty well. Could do with a winning nap. It seems to be a downward slope, getting sharper and sharper as time goes on, but it will have to change.
I see the tactic you've gone for, John. Get all the bad luck out the way at the start of the month so you can have all your good luck at Cheltenham.
Absolutely right. That is the tactic.
Yes, and hopefully a very profitable one as well. The racing we've got to look at Monday, John, which we'll get to in a little bit, wouldn't really be your bag, would it, Plumpton and Taunton? Not quite your neck of the woods.
Well, not my neck of the woods, Sam, that's quite right. But of course, one has to be an all-round, knowledgeable pundit. So, you know, I quite like Plumpton. It's a lovely track.
Yes.
And I have commentated, believe it or not, at Taunton.
Really?
Yes, indeed, some while ago. And of course, Martin Pipe had his first winner at Taunton.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's get stuck in some of the news first of all, though, John, before we get on to Plumpton and Taunton. We start with Saturday's action. As you expect, the Saturday before Cheltenham, we weren't blessed with some absolute superstars, but we did, of course, have the Imperial Cup at Sandown, which was won pretty comfortably in the end by Flying Angel. There's no bonus on offer this year for repeating the trick at Cheltenham, but he's entered in a few races at the festival, the Coral Cup amongst them. Firstly, what did you make of the performance yesterday, and could we be seeing it again at Prestbury Park in a week's time?
Well, I thought Flying Angel won really well. And, you know, two of them went clear from the field a long way out, but he was always travelling well, the Twist and Davies horse, and pulled it out after the last flight and won pretty comfortably. It looked as though he had, you know, just a quiet, steady, easy gallop, a not too hard a race. And if he reappears at Cheltenham in one of the handicaps, I think he's got a good chance. I was more impressed with the fact that he was trained by Nigel Twist and Davies, perhaps, than anything else. I think it implies the stable in very good shape. Now, if we look quickly at the champion hurdle that we might discuss, the new one, is the new one too old? What do you think, Sam? Do you think the new one has had his day?
I think it was very interesting what Nigel Twist and Davies said yesterday about there's no real negative surrounding him this time, and we could potentially see a little bit of a return to the old guard at this festival. Of course, we've got Sprinter Sakura who bids the bounce back. I wouldn't think it's past the new one.
No, my tent or yours too.
Yes, exactly.
In the champion hurdle, it's interesting, as you say, what Nigel Twist and Davies has said over the past week. I was at the Cheltenham preview at Carlisle, and Peter Scudamore was also on the panel. And Peter had been talking to Nigel Twist and Davies and said that he was really keen, enthusiastic, and underlined what you've just said, that he reckoned that he'd got the new one absolutely spot on for Cheltenham, and that it was the first time in the last 3 years that the horse had had a clear run up to the champion hurdle. He's done nothing wrong so far this season. It would be an emotional victory were the new one to score.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's only really been beaten by Forheen of late, and of course doesn't have to chase him home.
No, he does not have to chase him home. And he is a Cheltenham horse, the new one. And it's, as I say, would be great to see him perhaps win the race for the Twiston Davises after having, you know, pretty miserable time of it in that particular race over the last couple of seasons. And it seems to me quite possible. I'm not going to go, actually, for the new one as my choice in the champion hurdle. I'm an identity thief man in this contest.
13-2 then, the pair of them, Identity Thief and the new one behind Annie Power, who's 9-4, Nichols Canyon at 6-1. And we are now best odds guaranteed here at William Hill on the champion hurdle after the decks were announced early this morning for both this race and the Mayor's Hurdle. Talk to us about Identity Thief then, John. Obviously won the big race up at Newcastle.
A very likely race, this horse. Henry de Bromhead trains, and I think I'm right in saying Identity Thief has only basically run about three times. And he had only scored once before going to Newcastle last November for the Fighting Fifth Hurdle. I thought he won that in very good shape. He beat Top Notch. He was going easily much of the way, travelled really well between the last two flights, then nearly threw it away with a mistake at the final flight. It would have stopped a better horse because it was quite a momentum crashing mistake. However, he was given just a short time to recover, and he quickened impressively, I thought, in the softish ground at Newcastle to get up and win inside the last 100 yards. I was beaten next time out at Leopardstown by Nichols Canyon. He was outpaced on the run in. But Henry de Bromhead reckoned that he wasn't absolutely spot on for that race, and also that the long run in at Leopardstown meant that he just possibly had done his running a little bit too early. He stresses the horse has got a great deal of pace, Sam, and I'm hoping we're going to have a patient ride, and Identity Thief will come late and fast and outpace the opposition close home.
Okay, Identity Thief then at 13-2, John's choice for the champion hurdle, of which we've got 13 runners confirmed for that, and the mare's hurdle as well, which comes after the champion hurdle. And we've got 20 down for the mares this year. John Vroom Vroom Mag taking a huge chunk out of the market at 11-10. Polly Peacham 6s. Aurora de Estraval is 12-1. Bit of a puzzle, 14-1. Any hope for the English challengers here, or has Mullins got this one in the bag?
Well, on form, it would appear he has got it in the bag with Vroom Vroom Mag, but you never know at the Cheltenham Festival, although the Mayor's Hurdle has been a pretty reliable, statistic-wise race, and Vroom Vroom Mag did everything right at Ascot. He was impressive in the last sort of half furlong or so, certainly over the last flight, and quickened well on the run in. I think she is very well suited to a strong pace and a stiffish finish. So one does feel that Vroom Vroom Mag has got a great chance. A bit of a puzzle won't let supporters down. She's a genuine sort and very tough, always has the right attitude, might be value at 14-1. And I'm interested that Polly Peacham has been quite well backed here, because my little mole from Lambourne, who incidentally says that Altior will beat Min in the Supreme Hurdle, this little mole says that there is quiet confidence behind Polly Peacham at 7 Barrows, and the mare did actually stay on very strongly at Sandown when I imagined that Polly Peacham would be outpaced in the closing stages. Far from it. Stayed on resolutely. And Polly Peacham quietly backed here for the Mayor's Hurdle. Won't be disgraced by any means.
OK, so a little bit of a question about three of the Mullins hot pots there then for you. I say there might be all of them. I assume you think Duvan is the good thing in the Arkle.
I do. I think Duvin will be invincible. I mean, you can't really say that, of course, because, you know, anything can happen. Mm. But on all known form, Duvin has got to win the Arkle, and he's jumped really well in his few novice chases, so there's no reason why the fences should be too demanding for him. And on last year's Supreme Novices form, he really has got a touch of acceleration that should see him home.
Yes, and he might be getting an incredibly bizarre form boost as well on Monday at Taunton, which we'll get to in a little bit, John. But certainly chinks in the armour for you then, potentially, of Min, Annie Power and Vroom Vroom Mag on the first day of the festival. But we'll leave that there and get stuck into to Monday's racing now. We've got Plumpton and Taunton to come on this edition of the podcast, and we start with Plumpton's 240, a novices handicap chase for us here. 2 miles and 3 furlong is the trip ahead of the 7 that take their place in this race. Anything stand out to you here, John?
Yes, one or two do, actually. It's quite an interesting little race. We've got, first of all, a horse that is going up in trip, like Sully. Did well over 2 miles, I think it was Plumpton last time out, and just going up a little bit further could suit. I actually backed and selected in the studio John's Luck, who is in this race. Neil Mulholland trains, and Neil had 2 runners in the race at Southall. Ashcott Boy was the other. There was a well-backed favourite who I opposed, and correctly so on this occasion, got extremely well behind, never got into the contest at all. But you have to say that John's Luck did jump really well at Southwell. Took all the fences in his stride, could be called the winner a long way out, and stayed on strongly and won, beating his stablemates. I think he'll go fairly well in this contest at Plumpton. But there was also a horse of David Bridgewater's who I liked. This is a Borden Rock. Now, Borden Rock ran at Lingfield last weekend. The ground was atrocious, really heavy, hock deep. And Borden Rock had shown a certain amount of ability to act in soft ground beforehand. I thought that he would go very close to winning. And he jumped really well, Borden Rock at Lingfield. He gave the rivals a jumping lesson. And as he reached the top of the hill, I thought, well, he must win. He pinched a lead of about 2 or 3 lengths. And I thought it's going to be hard to catch him. But there had been a lot of money for the Gary Moore-trained horse Golden Carrot in this race. And although that horse didn't jump too well early on and was, you know, trailing a bit at one stage, all of a sudden he came on the scene and he took Borden Rock comfortably in the straight and went on to score. But David Bridgewater's horse was a fair second, and he acts on the ground. And the Bridgewater team do have quite a good record at Plumpton. So I'm, in fact, inclined to support Borden Rock. There are a couple of others in the contest. Beaujolais Bob beat Riddlestown by 32 lengths last time out, but Riddlestown is not a great animal, so that form may not be as good as it looked. And Spartilla was second at Fakenham, and as you know, the button idea is that Fakenham form does not travel. So I think it's between John's Luck and Borden Rock, and I go for Borden Rock.
OK, John's choice then in the 240 at Plumpton. We stay at Plumpton then just about an hour later for 345. This is a handicap hurdle over an extended 3 mile trip. 9 runners here, so plenty to go at in this class 4. Talk us through the field, John.
Well, we've got Bells of Aylesworth, who has got a chance in this contest. Ran fairly decently when second at Taunton when last seen. Then we have Leith Acra Moore, who is Ian Williams's runner. Interesting to see Ian Williams with a runner down at Plumpton on the day before Cheltenham. And this horse ran quite well at Huntingdon, was second to Fleming Toes at Huntingdon, could step up a little bit. And so also near the bottom is Aviator, who showed a bit of toe at Toaster last time out, finished third to Kelsey. And there's a horse called Young Lou, who was second in that contest, who was running at Market Raisin on Sunday. So if Young Lou wins by 20 lengths, then that's a would be a boost for Aviator. But I'm going to go for Talk of the South in this contest, trained by Paul Henderson, not, of course, to be confused with the famous Nicky, and has run a couple of decent races. I thought, particularly when fourth two outings ago at Plumpton behind Clayton, who ran well in the Imperial Cup for a long way on Saturday, and second last time out, not a great race. I thought Talk of the South had an excellent chance to score.
Talk of the South and the one in the 3.45. Let's go to Taunton then for two races there. We begin with their 3.55. The handicap chase here over 3.5 miles. Just six runners contest this Class 3 event, and a couple of the old boys in the field as well, John.
Yes, this is going to be a really good race, I think, actually, Sam. As you say, only six runners, but you know, most of them have got a winning chance. At the top, we've got Master Hill, who's a very attractive grey, trained by Colin Tizard. And the Tizard showed that they were still in, you know, really good nick for Cue Card's attempt at Cheltenham when our winner at Exeter they had earlier in the week. Master Hill has been unlucky, really. He's come up against some really good horses over the past 2 or 3 months. I remember he was very well fancied for a decent race at Newcastle and cost a certain amount of money from the wallet on that occasion, but ran well at Newbury last time out. Finished third to Shot of Vodka in a similar sort of race here, as here, and I think he'll stay the trip well. Benvolio comes into the contest as well. He has not been a favourite horse of mine, Benvolio, but he's a stayer who loves soft ground, but he was pulled up in the Welsh National, hasn't done it for a while. And Bally Oliver is another stout stayer from the Venetia Williams yard. Again, hasn't really shown his top form so far this season, but he is slipping down the handicap, like soft ground. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bally Oliver run really well. But we also have Good to Know in this particular contest. And Good to Know is trained by Kerry Lee, who, of course, is having an absolutely fantastic season. I thought this horse won really well, Sam, at Wetherby last time out. He beat King of the Worlds by a long way. He could be called the winner some distance out, and he stayed on really strongly, jumping well. And Bally Oliver was, in fact, behind him at Wetherby. I think Good to Know is going to go well in this contest. He's in form, the stable's in form, and all the credentials are there. So Good to Know will be my choice.
Good to Know then for Kerry Lee and Jake Greenall in the 3.55 at Taunton. Let's go to Taunton's 4.25 now for a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Seven runners here for this Class 3. We mentioned earlier, John, there could be an unlikely form boost in this race because the favourites on the forecast prices at time of recording is one Koenig Dax, who disappointed on first start in England for David Pipe, was beat out of sight really at Catterick, but did beat a little unknown horse called Duvan back in France, John. Certainly an interesting player here.
Yeah, very much an interesting player, and also owned by Paul and Claire Rooney, whose horses, of course, spread all over the country now, and was bought privately by the Rooneys. So I would imagine there was quite a bit of money coming out of the purse for Koenig Dax. Ran, as you say, at Catterick, was considered to, you know, certainly likely to win that race, but it was over a year ago. Something went clearly amiss. There's been a long time of patient rehabilitation, and I should imagine that this horse, Koenig Dax, is going to be a warm order for this 4.25 at Taunton. I should think there'll be some long faces if Tom Scudamore doesn't bring him comfortably into the winner's circle. I mean, to beat Duvain and then be 11th of 12 or whatever it was at Catterick is a bit of a come down. But the ability has surely to be there. And this is a race that's not going to take very much winning. We've got at the top, Johnny Farrelly's got Caslian in the contest. He does well at Taunton, Johnny Farrelly, but Caslian was a faller, I think, at Fakenham last time out. Here's Herbie, has got to improve quite a bit on the Ascot form, which we've seen. So the only serious danger to the favourite would appear to be Hollywood All-Stars. Now, there's been a sharpener for Graham McPherson's horse on the flat recently, and prior to that ran a perfectly sound third to behind Klein at Warwick. If we're going to take on the favourite, I think Hollywood All-Stars would be the one to do it with. But really, David Pipe's horse ought to win this race.
Okay, John's thoughts then on the 425 at Taunton. Just give us a quick summary then, please, as you always do, John.
Well, we start off at Plumpton in the 245, and I'm going to go for David Bridgewater's horse here, Borden Rock. Also at Plumpton in the 355, Talk of the South for Paul Henderson. Quickly over to Taunton for the 3.5 mile marathon, and here I'm going to go with Kerry Lee's Good to Know. And in the 425 at Taunton, well, Oconig Dax ought to score for David Pipe on the form in France.
OK, then, John Budden's thoughts ahead of the action on Monday. Remember to tune into William Hill's Racing Radio from 2pm. You can hear John back in the studio alongside Luke Elder and Nick Norton for the final day before the Cheltenham Festival. Plumpton and Taunton on the agenda, as we've discussed there, and also an Irish card from Cork as well. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast, John, and enjoy the action on Monday and have a good festival.
I hope so. Yes, we need some money to fill the wallet.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.